Would you please turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12? I suspect that many of you have heard the prayer spoken by someone long ago. Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We all are going to face challenges and problems and troubles in the course of our lives. I think I've told you here before that there are three kinds of troubles, and we're going to face at least one of them and probably all three of them. There are troubles that we can avoid. There are things that, the truth be known, probably most of the troubles we face in life are troubles we bring upon ourselves. But the Apostle Peter, for instance, in 1 Peter 4, urges his brethren to see to it that no one suffers as a murderer or as a thief or as a meddlesome person or as an evildoer. Those are troubles that people may face in life, but they are troubles that we bring upon ourselves. The second kind of trouble that we may encounter in life are troubles that we cannot avoid. Job said a long time ago that a man born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. And there are just problems and troubles that will come upon us as a result of the misdeeds of others. It may be through accidents. Any number of reasons may bring troubles upon us that we simply can't avoid. There are troubles that we ought to avoid. There are troubles that we cannot avoid. And then the third kind of trouble that we will face are troubles that we should not avoid. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul says to his brethren in Galatia that they ought to bear one another's burdens. You see, there are troubles that others will have that we can help with, and we ought not to turn our back on them. We ought to be willing to confront the problems that they are facing with them. And so that prayer is really quite appropriate. Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. There was a man who faced troubles. He faced many kinds of troubles, but he wrote one particular passage of Scripture when he described troubles that he faced that apparently never went away from his life as long as he lived upon this earth. I'm speaking of the Apostle Paul, and a text that I expect is familiar to many people in 2 Corinthians 12, in verses 7 through 10, when he talks about a thorn in the flesh. Now, we're all familiar with thorns. I think almost all of us probably at some point in time have had a splinter or a thorn or a briar of some sort, some sharp object that has pierced the skin. It's gotten down into the skin. It becomes an irritant. Maybe it festers a little bit. Maybe even becomes an infection of some sort. But we've all had problems with thorns and briars. You know, the Scriptures talk about the people of God in the Old Testament days as being a people who had the thorns and briars in their eyes. And in that particular instance, in the book of Habakkuk, he is speaking about the sins that they had committed. He was talking about troubles that they had brought upon themselves and the problems that arose from them. Well, the Apostle Paul talks about having experienced a thorn in his flesh. He begins in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 12 and says that because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, we're not going to take the time to look at it, but the preceding verses, the Apostle Paul talks about these great revelations that he had received. It was a great privilege, a great honor that he had received in those revelations. But he says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning about dealing with thorns, dealing with the irritants, with the troubles that we face in our lives. And sometimes they may be of our own making. Sometimes they may be as a result of accidents that happen. No one's at fault. Sometimes it may be as a result of misdeeds that others have done. I want to talk to you about thorns that you may be experiencing in your life. I trust that in an audience this size, I'm talking to someone today who has troubles. I'm pretty sure that someone here is facing some kind of problem and could learn from the example of the Apostle Paul of how to deal with thorny issues that arise in life. I want you to think with me, first of all, about some of the characteristics. Just in this brief reading of these few verses, I would suggest to you 3 things that could be said about this thorn that Paul was dealing with, this thorn in the flesh. One was it apparently was a painful thorn. It was something that gave him great trouble. It may have been pain of a psychological nature. It may have been pain of a physical nature. We'll talk more about that in a few moments, but it was quite a painful issue in his life. It was also a chronic problem. It didn't go away. It was there. It stayed there. He dealt with it for some extended period of time. That seems to be indicated by his statement that he had on 3 occasions prayed to the Lord to remove this from him. I do not take it that he is saying there that 3 times when I sat down to my supper, in my prayer of thanks for my food, I mentioned to the Lord, oh, by the way, could you take this thorn away? I take it that he is speaking of 3 different occasions over a period of time when he, in a concerted, a devoted effort in prayer to God about this particular problem, pleaded with God to remove it from him. It was a chronic problem. It was a painful problem, and it was apparently an uncontrollable problem. It was something that Paul had no control over, that arose in his life, be it because of circumstances that he had no control of, be it because of the actions of others. For whatever the reason, it was something that Paul could not himself control, and therefore, he prayed to God about it. You have any problems like these? You have any problem that's painful, that's enduring, that's been something you've been dealing with for some time, that's simply out of your control, it's out of your ability, really, to do anything about? Well, then you share something with this man, the Apostle Paul. But now I want to suggest to you a few things as to possibilities of what this chronic, painful, an uncontrollable problem was, this thorn in Paul's flesh. What was it? Well, some suggest it's physical illness. And there's some reason to think that that might be the case. Over in the book of Galatians, chapter 4, and in verses 13 through 15, when Paul wrote to these brethren, he said, but you know that it was because of bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time. We don't know a lot of about this, but it would seem that as Paul was on one of his preaching journeys, as he was in that Galatian region, he became ill and perhaps had to stop his journey in this point. Otherwise, he may have journeyed right on by. But this delay, because of this physical illness, this bodily illness, he remained there. And that gave the occasion for the preaching that he did there. Verse 14 goes on, he says, "And that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe. But you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus Himself. Where then is that sense of blessing you had? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me." Some suggest that last phrase, "you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me," was an indication of what bodily illness Paul was facing at this time, that it had something to do with his eyesight. Whatever it was, and by the way, that phrase might have just been an indication, not so much of the specific illness that he had, but the extent to which the Galatians would have gone to help him. We would say it maybe something more like this: I'd give you my right arm. Well, what do we mean by that? I'll do whatever I can. I'll do everything possible in order to help you. Well, that may have been what Paul meant here when he said the Galatians would have plucked out their eyes and given to him. Or it could be that was the malady that it affected his vision. But whatever the problem was, it was something that could have turned people away from Paul. Well, you know, he's weak, he's sick, he's infirmed. In that condition, a fella can't be very impressive, you know. Well, these folks didn't turn him away. But they received him well. He says, you received me as an angel of God, or even as Christ Jesus Himself, as He came speaking the message of God and of Christ Jesus. It could have been that this physical malady that he speaks of in Galatia was something that troubled him throughout his life, and that when he spoke to the Corinthians about this thorn in the flesh that he had prayed to God about, that it was this continuing physical illness. Are you sick? Do you have some chronic, painful disease, something over which you have no control? Does someone you love have one? Someone who's near to you and dear to you? Are you dealing with a problem like that? Or maybe you're dealing with a problem of a spiritual weakness. Some suggest that that's what Paul has in mind here, that he is describing a sense of his own failures. I don't know if that's the case in this particular passage. I think I know a passage where he does exactly that in Romans the 7th chapter. In verses 12 through 25, we'll not take the time to read all of those verses this morning, but I want you to notice just a few things. Paul is writing in these verses about his struggles, his spiritual struggles. He is describing his life as one who has been justified in Christ, a person who's obeyed the gospel, a person who has become a Christian. But then he deals with the continued problem of sin. He acknowledges the fact, I still do things that are wrong. Listen to what he says in verse 16. He says, "But I do the very thing I do not wish to do. I agree with the law, confessing that it is good. So now no longer am I doing it, but sin which indwells me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not wish. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good." Now please don't get the idea that Paul here is trying to excuse himself in sin. Don't get the idea that he is saying, "Oh, well, I'm not responsible." That is not at all what he is saying. He is saying, however, that here I am, this person who has become a Christian, whose desire is to do good. My desire is to do what's right. But yet I acknowledge I still do what is wrong. He is accepting responsibility. I acknowledge that sin still is at work, and I still succumb to it. What is my plight then? What is my future? Look in verse 24. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? How can I be delivered from this? I went to Christ for forgiveness of sins. He gave it. But now I still struggle against it. I don't want to do it. Is he describing anyone here? Anyone here deal with sin? Christian, do you still yield to sin? Do you struggle with spiritual weaknesses? Well, that's exactly what Paul is describing. And he says, who's going to deliver me from this? And then in verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin. Continue into chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he continues on with the description. The solution to the Christian's continued struggle against sin is the same solution to the original struggle against sin. Who did you turn to? Who did you turn to be delivered from your sins originally? It was Christ. Who will you turn to as you continue to fight against sin? It's Christ. His continued forgiveness is what enables us to say, as Paul did, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And to say as well, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The point is not, deny that sin exists. The point is not deny responsibility for my sins. The point is address my sins. Seek continued forgiveness of my wrongdoings in Christ. But do you see that Paul is describing a man who is engaged in a battle against sin? What is it his desire to do? His desire is to do what's right. His desire is not to do what's wrong. Let me tell you something. When you lose that desire, when that battle, that struggle no longer exists within you, that, my friend, is when you are in dire trouble. That, Christian, is when you are in danger of losing your soul. It's when you've quit fighting against it. Paul doesn't describe a man who's just consigned to, I'll just continue sinning. He's describing a man who's resisting it to the best of his ability, but who acknowledges there are still times when I succumb and my only deliverance is in Christ. Is that a thorny issue with you? Are you struggling against some sin? Does it seem chronic? Does it bring you pain? Do you feel sometimes as though it's uncontrollable? Well, deliverance is found in Christ and continuing the struggle against sin. Sometimes people say, well, no, the thorn in the flesh that Paul encountered were personal enemies. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 32 is an example of such an event in his life. In that particular passage, he writes to the Corinthians about experiences that he had in the city of Ephesus. And he says that while he was in Ephesus, I fought against wild beasts. He's not talking about I fought against lions and tigers and bears. He's talking about I struggled against men who were behaving as wild beasts. Their animosity, their hatred, their resistance to the gospel, they fought as though they were wild animals. And you can go through many, many other passages where the apostle writes about those who oppose the gospel, those who were enemies of the truth, enemies against him. May I ask you this? Do you have any people that behave as your enemy? Maybe it's some folks at work. Maybe it's some folks at school. Maybe it's folks that you just encounter on a day-to-day living basis. Maybe it's folks out there on the highway. Do you have people that are conducting themselves as though they are your enemies? They want to do you harm. And it's painful. It's chronic. It just doesn't seem to go away. And you certainly don't have any control over it. How do you deal with that problem? Well, Paul's going to show us how in just a moment. Some folks say, nah, his thorn in the flesh were difficulties with the church or with churches. In 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, we find Paul describing a number of the challenges, the problems. We might even call them the thorns that he faced in the course of his preaching. He talks about being beaten, being opposed by Jewish enemies to the gospel. He talks about being in shipwrecks in the course of his travels. But in verse 28 of 2 Corinthians 11, he talks about, besides all of these things, he says there is the daily concern for the churches. As an apostle, he had the responsibilities of teaching the gospel to men and women in so many different places. If you're familiar with Paul's life, you know he traveled to many, many cities. He preached in many places, established many churches. Much of the New Testament is comprised of his letters written back to some of those churches. And he had a constant weight bearing down upon his shoulders of concern for the spiritual well-being of those folks. And some of those letters that you can read in the New Testament that he wrote to address some very serious problems that existed in the lives of these folks. A lot of times, people in the churches don't behave themselves like they ought to behave. Brother Roberts, at the Lord's, as we observed the Lord's Supper this morning, talked about some abuses of the Lord's Supper. He read from 1 Corinthians 11. That's a letter Paul wrote to the Corinthians about abuses they were committing. And in the text that Brother Roberts read, you remember he asked the question, shall I praise you in this? Certainly not. He wrote letters a lot of times in which he had to deal with issues that he could not praise people about. Let me ask you this, Christians. Are you dealing with church problems? Are you dealing with folks within a church, within a congregation, maybe within this congregation, folks that aren't behaving themselves as they ought to behave? Does it cause pain? Does it seem chronic, like it's never going away? Uncontrollable again? These are deeds that other people are involved in. I can't make them stop. How do you deal with such problems? A lot of folks throw their hands up and say, well, if that's the way folks who claim to be Christians are going to behave, then I'm quitting. I'll have nothing more to do with that bunch. How do you deal with thorns in the flesh? Paul may have very well had this thorn in the flesh as a metaphor for Jewish opposition to the gospel. Paul had been a Jew himself, highly ranked. He had been a man who was a rabbi among the Jews. But he had been converted to Christ, and from the preaching, the beginning of his preaching, he was constantly opposed by Jewish leaders. We read in the book of Acts where some set out to put him to death. They were going to find Paul and assassinate him. Over and over again in his writings, we read about such oppositions. In Romans chapter 10, in verses 1 through 3, we see where the Apostle Paul writes about the Jewish nation in general. And he says in those verses that I give them credit, that they have a zeal for God, But it's not according to knowledge. He says that they have gone about to establish their own righteousness rather than seeking the righteousness of God. But was Paul the kind of fellow who said, well, you know, that's their problem. I tried. They wouldn't listen. That's their troubles. No, when you read in Romans chapter 9, in the first five verses there, he says, concerning his kinsmen, his fellow Jews, his countrymen, he says, I could wish myself to be severed from Christ or separated from Christ in their place. You know what Paul is saying there? He's saying that his love for his Jewish countrymen was so great. He said, if it were possible, I would suffer eternal damnation in their place. That's how much he was concerned for them. That's how much he loved them. No, he didn't take the attitude, that's their troubles. They've rejected the righteousness of God. Just forget them. No. Now, he was a man who found it painful and a chronic pain and an uncontrolled pain when he saw the rejection of his countrymen of Jesus Christ, their Messiah. Well, those are some of the possibilities of what this thorn may have been. Hope you didn't come thinking that you were going to have a definitive answer on it. But I want to tell you something. All of those possibilities are things that we deal with, aren't they? To some degree, in some form or fashion. Whether it's illness, spiritual weakness, personal enemies, difficulties within a congregation, or just out-and-out rejection of the gospel. All of those are things that we face. So how do we deal with these thorns? Look at how Paul handled them. And I'll do this quickly. He didn't blame God. You want to know how to deal with the serious illness of a loved one or of your own self or of spiritual weakness that comes upon you or enemies that you confront or difficulties when brethren don't behave like they ought to or just out and out rejection of the gospel? How do you deal with it? Well, the first thing you do is you don't blame God. In verse 7, what does Paul say? He says, this thorn in the flesh was from Satan. He put the blame right where it belonged. He put it in the lap of the devil. It wasn't God that had done this to him. But I want you to notice also that what he did was he prayed that it would be removed. You want to know how to deal with these kinds of thorny issues that you may face? Pray to God that it be removed. That's how you deal with it. And that's exactly what Paul did. He says, I did it three times. But you know what the answer was? The answer was no. Don't you get the idea that God is going to say yes to every single prayer that you pray, to every single thing that you ask for? God is going to answer our prayers based on what is best for us. And sometimes what is best for us is to either wait before we receive what we've asked for or to not receive it at all. Pray to God for the removal of the thorn. But then, if it's not removed, learn to live with it. You know that's what Paul did. There seems to be no indication in Scripture that this thorn, whatever it was ever removed from him. For the remainder of his days, he faced it. He lived with it. And you know what else? He came to accept that some good might come from it. He came to accept that there might be some glorying in this weakness that he had. Oh, how many times do we ask for the removal of some difficulty in our life, and if it isn't removed, then we blame God, and in blaming God, we fail to glory in whatever weakness it is that we're facing, whatever difficulty, whatever trial that we're facing. Oh, there's some good that can come out of facing difficulties with faith in God. May I tell you a real quick story? Jerry was a man who was not a Christian. He and his wife were on a trip one day. They pulled into a rest stop along the highway. Thieves approached them. Jerry's wife was killed. Jerry was shot and blinded. In his blindness, he had to go and live with his sister and her husband, who were Christians. Jerry, who had never indicated any interest whatsoever in God or the things of God, who had always rejected any approaches by his sister to consider the gospel and to consider the Lord's will, Jerry now, in this terrible set of circumstances, said he wanted to go to church with his sister. And so he began to attend services. And in the course of time, during a gospel meeting, at the end of the service one night, Jerry, with the help of his sister, made his way to the front of the building and was baptized into Christ, and would tell you it would never have happened if that robbery, murder, and assault had not occurred. Now, am I telling you, oh, well, God caused the murder of his wife? Absolutely not. Am I saying, oh, God caused the injuries to Jerry? Certainly not. Absolutely not. What I am saying is that in the midst of horrible circumstances, good can come sometimes. Jerry will tell you that. Paul already has. In the midst of terrible circumstances, whatever caused his thorn in the flesh, good could come from it. And he could glory in whatever it was that was his weakness, whatever troubled him, he could glory in it. Because by his continued faith in God, he could overcome. He could continue to serve God in a faithful way. And so can you, whatever that thorn in the flesh may be. But I'll tell you what had to be true for this man, Paul, for all of this to be so. He had to be a man who was in Christ. He had to be a Christian. And the Bible tells us exactly how he became a Christian. It tells us in the book of Acts that he heard the preaching of the gospel by a man by the name of Ananias. And he, believing the things that he had learned, both before he heard Ananias and after he heard Ananias, believing that Jesus was the Son of God, Paul turned away from his sins. And at the urging of Ananias, who said to him, "Why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Paul did that very thing, and he became a Christian. And as a Christian, then, he was prepared to deal with the thorns of life, whatever they might be. And so can you. If you're not a child of God today, become one. Believing Jesus to be God's Son, turn from your sins. Delay no longer. Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Won't you do that while we stand and sing?